Blog Talk Radio.
Very good day to you. It is the FootballDiehards.com podcast on another waiver Wednesday, and joining me again for the waiver show is Michael Jones. Michael, how are you?
Hey, Skip. How's everything? Getting ready to get after it. Looking through all my leagues right now, the numerous leagues that I get to participate in.
One of my prime leagues right now, too, I've got Peyton at quarterback, so I have no idea what to do. He's playing BYE this week. So, he's having some soreness in the knee. Wanted to get into that. He does have a bye this week, so hopefully he'll be all good and he'll to go. But what have you heard about Peyton's knee?
Just the same thing you've heard. I mean, I think it's just, your general aches and pains, and, give him a good week off, and I'm sure he'll be fine. I mean, the fact is, the way he's playing right now, he could sit back there in a rocking chair and hit Austin Collier right over the shoulder from 30 yards out.
Yeah, absolutely. So no real issues or concerns for Peyton Manning owners other than the fact that he's going to buy this week?
Yeah, that's the only thing. Just don't start Peyton Manning this week. It's the only time we'll say that this year.
All right, another injury we're kind of looking at is Jericho Cotri. Looks like he may have re-injured his hamstring in his performance over the weekend. What are your thoughts on that? Is he likely going to be out for a couple more weeks, you're thinking?
Yeah, no doubt. I think they have a pretty easy game this week against Buffalo. And so it is Buffalo, right? And so it seems like that there's no reason to push it. And, those hamstring injuries are just so tricky to manage. I think he wanted to play big division game against Miami. And, he probably re-injured himself in a loss. And obviously it was very interesting to see how Braylon Edwards performed. But I think they're going to give Jericho the week off, and then they have a bye. And so it's basically 2 weeks off to get that hammy ready to go for the stretch run here.
Yeah, it looks like Braylon was able to step into to his role with the Jets really well. Is most of that just coming from the fact that he's coming from a similar system?
Yeah, absolutely, and just the fact that he was on Monday Night Football. We talked about that last week, that the guy wants to be more of a celebrity than, a real down-dirty football player. And when the bright lights are on, Braylon Edwards performs. When he's facing, one of the last-place teams in the league, he disappears. And so, I think it's a great fit to rejuvenate him. I think he's got a bit of that kind of T.O. in him, in where, he needs a new challenge to kind of keep himself motivated. And, boy, there's no better challenge for him than, trying to impress the New York Jets and their head coach and that media.
Yeah, absolutely. The last injury I want to take mention of is Mark Bolger. Looks like he's finally going to be back this weekend for St. Louis. How much is he going to be able to help them out?
Well, he can't. He definitely won't hurt them, the way Kyle Bowler was. But, I have him on, as far as a bye week fill-in. He definitely should be serviceable this week against Jacksonville. And you're allowing about 274 yards a game passing, and so it's just basically gonna be Donnie Avery, Daniel Fells, Keenan Burton throwing something out, Randy McMichael, Steven Jackson, and hopefully they can protect him. But boy, that's gonna be one muggy game down there in Jacksonville, so it's gonna be a rough sledding for him. And I think he'd probably be better suited if he did have someone to pick up that maybe take a look at Josh Johnson, who's going to be facing Carolina, who's actually throwing the ball really nicely, and maybe look at something like that instead of Mark Bolger. And before we get off the injuries, though, real quick, there is a big injury for me anyways on my mind, and that's Calvin Johnson. And I hate these kind of injuries where they're just like these little kind of nicked up, banging, kind of sprain, pulling kind of things that where you can, you can get around and you can probably go half speed, but, you get in the game and you try to push it, and boy, he lasts half a quarter and you're left with 1.2 points at the wide receiver position for your stud wide receiver, and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Should I pick up somebody else? Are they going to play him? Not going to play him? And it's just all the way up to game time. That's just the biggest headache there is. I think it's called a Brian Westbrook syndrome or something. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson is the big one for me this week that I'm really kind of concerned about.
All right, well, the Week 6 waiver wire is officially out. I want to just go ahead and start going down. Starting off at quarterback, your bye quarterbacks are Tony Romo and Peyton Manning. Who can you look to maybe fill a hole this week?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, Sean Hill and Chad Henne, too. So if you're starting Chad Henne and Sean Hill, you probably got bigger problems than your bye week fill-in here. But, you know, Jason Campbell is a guy who's been on this list a couple times. He's had some good weeks. He had a pretty bad week last week. And he's got the Kansas City Chiefs coming to town. And, you know, we saw what Tony Romo and Miles Austin did to them last week. So no reason that Jason Campbell and Santana Moss can't do the same thing this week. And so Jason Campbell is pretty much a top, you know, waiver wire pickup if you really have, you know, if your quarterbacks for Peyton Manning and you haven't dropped Chad Pennington yet, you know, and just kind of suddenly go to your lineup to see, oh, man, now what am I going to do? You know, Jason Campbell's out there pretty good again. We talked about Josh Johnson for Tampa Bay, who I like quite a bit. I think he's throwing the ball nicely. And Kellen Winslow's really coming along. They haven't seemed to have a nice connection. And then we talked about Mark Bulger, and Bulger again with Jacksonville, and we talked about that matchup as being a good matchup. And, you know, those are three serviceable guys. If you don't have a real problem, though, at quarterback, and you do have extra spots, and you got a pretty big, you know, one of those big dynasty leagues or something, I'm putting out a recommend. Last week we recommended a couple of backup quarterbacks again. This week, recommending to make sure you take a look at these guys, Billy Volek in San Diego. And Volek's always come out and whenever he's gotten a chance and put up big numbers. And, you know, Philip Rivers, again, these guys are one play away from being fantasy-relevant quarterbacks. And the other guy, last year we dealt with Matt Castle coming out of nowhere basically for New England, and that quarterback that was to happen this year is from Michigan State, Brian Hoyer. And Hoyer, you know, had high marks from a lot of the draft experts. And basically, the Patriots cleared their cupboard of Matt Gutierrez, Kevin O'Connell, Andrew Walters, and, you know, the whole gang. And Brian Hoyer is Brady's only backup. And so if you have room, and those are guys, you know, two explosive offenses, the guys, they could end up being as relevant as the starters ahead of them.
All right. So also moving on to the running back position, players who will not be playing this weekend. We got Marion Barber, Joseph Addai, Ronnie Brown, Frank Gore. So keep that in mind. Who are you looking to fill a hole at the running back slot if you can this week?
Well, first off, you know, props to people who drafted Joseph Addai. I mean, I thought that he'd have lost his job by now. But what a game last week with 10 receptions. And what just a PPR monster numbers. And that seems like Joseph Addai is kind of working out not too bad for those people that drafted him this year. But the guy that, you know, I think is pretty much at the top of any list that if he is available, I mean, most of my leagues that are out there, that the top running back available, I think, is Brian Leonard. You know, it's just really ugly out there for running backs on most waiver wires. But Sammy Morris is a guy that a lot of people are looking at who's, you know, if it's kind of a shallow league, 10-team league, that he's probably out there waiting for someone to come and give him a home. And in short spurts, he will put up good numbers, as evidenced last year, averaged 111.3 total yards a game. He can't catch the ball very well out of the backfield in the last three games of the season, scored 3 touchdowns in the last 5. And last week against Denver had 19 touches, 17 carries, which was quite a bit more than Kevin Falk and Lawrence Maroney. Of course, a New England running back situation is always in flux, but Sammy Morse, whenever he's gotten the opportunity, seems to have the trust of the coaching staff. And then some interesting developments. You know, I write this thing, basically kind of put the names together Monday night, start really writing the thing on Tuesday, but some developments in New Orleans right now with Pierre Thomas, his ankle is bothering him, Mike Bell is coming back. And so that's a situation you definitely want to keep an eye on. If you can go out and kind of swoop up Mike Bell after everybody dropped him, you might end up getting a fairly decent start out of Mike Bell, even though they have a pretty tough matchup against the New York Giants this week. The Giants are allowing 6 yards a carry by the running backs on the road this year. So that might be one place to look at is Mike Bell if he's out there. And then the other running back quickly, Brandon Jackson, should be returning to the Green Bay Packers offense, man, and they have severely missed him. Jackson with that nice little outlet for Rodgers when he got in trouble, dumped it off to Jackson. Jackson can make some positive yardage out of it. Deshaun Wynn really hasn't been able to get the job done. And if you have bye week flex opening in a PPR league, Brandon Jackson is someone that should be your fifth running back on your roster.
All right, certainly some good information there. wide receivers got a lot of names on the list too, so I'm just going to let you go with that. There's a lot of people out there who have been really impressing recently. Talk a little bit about them.
Well, the one good thing is that, you know, I know for a lot of my leagues, you know, we missed a lot of really good wide receivers last week and had to kind of get through having Larry Fitzgerald out and all those guys. And so this week, the wide receivers, you should be in fairly good shape at wide receiver. San Francisco, no one really of note. Miami, no one really of note. And, you know, the Colts are basically the main thing. The Cowboys are nobody really of note at wide receiver, even though the top name on our list obviously made quite a note last week. But Reggie Wayne, basically the main name that's out this week. So he's probably not available anymore, but Miles Austin had to be mentioned at least. And if we probably had put this waiver wire out a little bit later last week, he would have been on this list. But obviously 250 yards, breaking the Dallas Cowboys single game receiving record, was quite an accomplishment for Miles Austin. We'd heard about him all preseason that, you know, the guy could be another T.O. type of player, kind of a long strider with a fairly good muscular build, can break tackles, and he put it all on display in an amazing way this last week against Kansas City. But, you know, still, Miles Austin, they're saying that he's going to get about 50 snaps a game going forward. I would say that if I was a Patrick Creighton owner, I definitely would be hoping I had Miles Austin on my team. And the other guy that, you know, exploded last week was Jeremy Maclin, 2 touchdown catches of 51 and 40 yards. He's a rookie. You know, how much, you know, they obviously were bracketing DeSean Jackson, Tampa Bay was, and Maclin was able to get open, get behind the defense, and more importantly, once he did get behind the defense, and made the play. And so he led the team in targets. I believe 9 targets last week. And so McNabb can find him, and Maclin seems to be able to catch the ball. Obviously a great all-purpose wide receiver at Missouri, has amazing speed, great open field ability, and so he's someone that you definitely want to have on your team, whether you have the you know, the guts to actually put him in the lineup and expect him to have that kind of game every week. That's another story. But and lastly, we were talking about Calvin Johnson, and if you do have Calvin Johnson, you definitely want to protect that investment. And it looks like Dennis Northcutt will be Dante Culpepper's sort of go-to guy. Led the team in targets last week. Got five passes for 70 yards and a nice touchdown. And, you know, finished strong with Jacksonville last year. Had 200-yard games with 2 touchdowns in weeks 15 and 16. So if you've got Calvin Johnson, Dennis Northcutt is definitely out there, and I'd go ahead and go out and get him.
All right, Tua, good information there. Tight end, some people you may need to be worried about: Jason Witten, Dallas Clark, Anthony Fasano, and Vernon Davis going to be out. Who might be out there on the waivers you might be able to snag for a temporary one-week start?
Yeah, well, who would have thought that Vernon Davis would be a higher-ranked tight end than Jason Witten at this point? You know, it's just absolutely amazing. And I've always been someone who really likes to draft my tight ends high and get a premium tight end, because I've always found that, all things being equal, that those extra tight end points can really come in and make a difference. This week, that difference maker, I you know, he made a big difference the last time he played against Minnesota, and that's JerMichael Finley. This week he's facing a Detroit defense that has allowed the most touchdowns to tight ends of any defense in the league. That's 6, and you know, had 6 receptions and 128 yards and touchdown against Minnesota. Led the team in targets also, and there's no reason that he won't have another great game this week. Obviously, Rodgers was forced to look at Finley more because he was facing such an extreme pass rush, but Finley has shown to be such a great playmaker with the ball in his hands. He's a matchup nightmare, and there's no reason to think that he's going to slow down. And, you know, speaking of that Minnesota defense, Todd Heap for Baltimore is having a great year. He faces that Minnesota defense this year, and in more shallower leagues, he's probably still under the radar a bit and could be available on your waiver wire. If nothing else, that's sort of a start sit-em, and make sure you get Todd Heap in your lineup, as Minnesota is allowing 13 fantasy points a game to the tight end position, and that is the worst of any defense in the league, or best if you actually have a tight end facing them as it is.
All right, talk a little bit about the kickers out this week too.
you know, a lot of good kickers. Of course, Adam Vinatieri is out on bye, and he's out for, is it 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury, and they've signed Matt Stover. So, if you know, it will be interesting to see how Matt Stover responds to getting this opportunity to pick the kick for Indianapolis, though Indianapolis has this, you know, annoying ability to score touchdowns and not kick field goals if you own their field goal kicker. But Nick Folk, Joe Nenni, pretty much the only real key names there. But John Casey for Carolina, they have, you know, pretty slow sledding so far for the Carolina offense. But this week they face Tampa Bay. They should be able to move the ball in Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay should be, to a certain degree, bend, not break in a pretty tight divisional matchup where the teams should know each other's offenses pretty well, know each other's tendencies, and it could get come down to where field goals are going to be a key part of the game. And I look for John Casey to kick in 3 field goals this week. And, boy, I'll tell you, this has been a down year for field goal kickers. I don't know if many people have taken notice, but you haven't seen many double-digit kicker numbers this year. And it's been Lawrence Tynes has been the, you know, the surprising kicker of the year this year. And I know Lawrence Tynes' owners have been pretty happy with his production.
All right, so you're certainly paying for that if you took a kicker early in the draft, right?
Well, that's the thing. You probably got Lawrence Tynes in the last round, but, you know, the top kicker that went was Steven Gostkowski, and Gostkowski, you know, is second in fantasy points. And, you know, every fantasy points counts. I know people discount kickers, except when your kicker, you know, gets 3 points and the kicker you're facing gets 14, you know, and then all of a sudden kicker points kind of seem to matter all of a sudden. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a good kicker as opposed to having, you know, having drafted, you know, whoever, Isaac Bruce or something, or whoever was your sixth wide receiver that you drafted, who's, you know, probably on back on the waiver wire at this point.
All right, what are some of the defensive matchups look like this week?
Well, New Orleans has been just a great defense this year. Greg Williams has just got that team turned around. They got Darren Sharper to kind of be the quarterback of the defense. Charles Grant is playing out of his mind. Will Smith is being a great compliment. And so, Jonathan Vilma holding down the mic position there. And then they drafted the first round. They got the kid out of Ohio State, Malcolm Jenkins, to play corner for them. And they just brought a physical style to the defense. And New Orleans this week are playing the New York Giants. They're New Orleans allowing 155 passing yards a game at home this year. Eli Manning with the foot issues, I think it's going to be an issue playing on that hard dome surface. And they're going to bring a lot of pressure on Eli Manning. A couple of those ducks that Eli throws is definitely, I see, landing in Saints defenders' hands as they're playing all over the field. And the thing about they're doing is they're turning them into touchdowns, too. So they put a lot of pressure on Mark Sanchez and the Jets. I think that pressure is going to be ramped up. It's going to be a great game. I like New Orleans quite a bit to beat the Giants this week. And if you're looking kind of at another defense that has a great matchup, we talked about Mark Bulger earlier, but still the Jaguars, coming off that 41-0 loss, are going to be, you know, pretty fired up this week, coming back to playing at home. And the Rams defense has a -7 turnover ratio. They've been sacked 12 times, and so they got definitely a lot of fantasy points to be had there. They've only scored as an offense, they've only scored 34 points. Which is worse in the league. So the Jacksonville defense is one that if you've really got need a defense, that's one to definitely go out and get.
Right. Anything else you wanted to hit about the waiver wire?
No, that should do it. The one name out there that I do recommend if you are in an IDP league, Paul Posluszny, who is the leader of the Buffalo Bills defense, their captain, who broke his arm. He was looking to be out 6 weeks. He's going to be returning that defense sooner than later because they've just lost every single linebacker there is under the sun. And it's one of the most amazing injury situations I've about ever seen. And Posluszny is going to try to return. The guy's a tackling machine. And this week, if he can't get back into the defense, they are. I know he's back at practice. He's going to be facing the Jets. The Jets should control the ball for about 37 minutes of that game. They should be running the ball probably about 45 times, and that should be, a 10 to 12 tackle game for Paul Posluszny if he actually does get back into that starting lineup.
It is the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I am Skip Lacombe, joined by Michael Jones. I want to also go ahead and quickly go through the sit-start situation, too. Starting off at quarterback, we got David Girard. What's your call on him?
Well, David Girard, you know, is basically the top of that. You know, and of course, you know, you need to be told to, you know, start, you know, Kurt Warner or whatever. That's not really what this is. This is a start set for people that if you're kind of on the fence and you need somebody that it looks like they have an excellent matchup, that's what this is about. And it's David Girard, you know, he's gonna rebound from the debacle. One of the most crazy situations I've ever seen in fantasy football last week with Mike Sims Walker, where the whole coaching staff knew that he was going to be suspended for that game, but didn't tell the team until right before the game. And the team went out, just seemed like they had all their air just sucked out of the team, you know, and it was just a horrible performance. And they get Mike Sims Walker back this week, facing a St. Louis defense that obviously where Jacksonville should have the ball. They should be able to move the ball. They should be able to score points. St. Louis's defensive passing is allowing about over 215 passing yards a game on the road. I think that the Jacksonville is going to come back with quite a vengeance, with something to prove. And I think all the Jacksonville Jaguar players are starts this week. The other couple names, we talked about Jason Campbell earlier. Kansas City allowing 315 passing yards on the road. And Carson Palmer, probably someone you don't need to be told to start, but obviously with a great matchup this week at home against Houston. Houston allowing 252 passing yards on the road. And Palmer and the Bengals are just playing some great football right now. And hopefully Palmer can start as fast as he's finishing.
All right, moving down the list to the running backs. Any news of notes?
Well, the main thing, you know, for me is a lot of people are looking at have kind of given up on D'Angelo Williams, and you know, might not understand, you know, really that this he seems to just get better as the season goes along. Jonathan Stewart's still kind of dinged up there, and I think D'Angelo Williams is going to be at home facing a Tampa Bay defense that's allowing 172 rushing yards a game at home, and so D'Angelo Williams is going to be on the road. And I look that they're going to just give D'Angelo Williams the ball. He's just destroyed Tampa Bay in the past. If anybody remembers what he did to them last year, or I believe he had 3 or 4 touchdowns, he had like a 50-point fantasy game right at the end of the season last year. And so D'Angelo Williams seems to match up really well against Tampa Bay. And the other player I think is Leon Washington. Should have a really nice game. We talked about Buffalo, how banged up they are. Buffalo allowing 161 rushing yards on the road. And Leon Washington's running the ball great. If anybody saw him run the ball against Miami, it seems like he's not getting the goal line carries like, you know, Thomas Jones is, but still putting up great flex PPR numbers. And Leon Washington is definitely someone to have in your lineup this week. And there was a couple cautions that I did want to
I was going to say, I see a caution by Adrian Peterson for the first time, well, pretty much ever.
Well, you know, if you look at Adrian Peterson, he hasn't had a 100-yard rushing game in, what, 3 games now. And this is not going to get any easier facing Baltimore. Baltimore defense allowing 69 rushing yards on the road a game. And Adrian Peterson is going to get hit. He's going to get hit a lot. And, you know, I know Cedric Benson had pretty much the game of his life. The Bengals played the game of their life. They played out of their mind. They played that game for Mike Zimmer, who was their defensive coordinator, who was obviously had the horrible tragedy that week of coming home and, you know, finding that his wife had passed away. And the team just played one of the more inspired football games you'll see any team play anywhere. Needless to say, the Rams are going to come out on a mission this game. I really like Baltimore in this spot against Minnesota, even being on the road. I think that's going to actually help them being on the road, being real unified. And that team speed they have on defense in Baltimore, I think is going to eat up Minnesota. And I do not look at Adrian Peterson having a quality game at all. The other guy, Chris Johnson, they're going to be playing at New England. I think weather will be a factor there. I think that New England, like Indianapolis, is going to just attack that Tennessee secondary. I think they're going to put up a big lead on Tennessee. I think this is last week you'll see Kerry Collins as the starter in Tennessee as they head into their bye. I think they're going to look at Vince Young going forward. And I do not look at Chris Johnson having a quality game at all this week against the New England defense. It's allowing 88 yards a game at home rushing.
All right, moving down the list, I want to talk a little bit about the wide receivers too. Any matchups you're thinking are favorable?
Yeah, well, I mean, one name that I really like this week, and I think is somebody that everybody needs to be aware of, and if nothing, just to make sure you follow it, just to see how it plays out. But Torrey Holt, you know, in Jacksonville, they would be facing the St. Louis Rams. And to me, you know, any good coaching staff, any good quarterback, Jacksonville, again, I think they're going to be super fired up for this game. I think they're going to blow out the Rams, which is another reason to like Bulger, because they're probably going to be playing from far behind. They may be throwing the ball. But I think that Torrey Holt, I think the coaching staff for Jacksonville is going to make a concerted effort to get the ball in Torrey Holt's hands, let him have kind of a, you know, one kind of last hurrah, you know, in a revenge spot against his ex-team that kind of let him go rather unceremoniously. And the other name, Santana Moss, we talked about him against Kansas City, what Miles Austin did against the Kansas City Chiefs. Santana Moss can be the same type of big play receiver, and I look at him to just basically destroy that Kansas City defense. And a name of caution out there, because it's hard to get away from it, but watching what Cincinnati defense, that secondary, has been doing every single week to opposing number one wide receivers. Last week it was Derek Mason. You know, had one target for no catches. Each and every week they are just taking away and shutting down. They shut down Greg Jennings. They shut down Braylon Edwards. I mean, every week the number one wide receiver who is facing Cincinnati is getting shut down either by Leon Hall, one side of the field, or by Jonathan Joseph, another first-round pick out of South Carolina, on the other side of the field, and they're just bracketing on Joseph's side, letting Leon Hall go one-on-one on the other side, and it's working. And so this is going to be a really interesting spot to see if those observations are been a fluke facing quite arguably one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in football, Andre Johnson, or if this is going to be a great spot to start Kevin Walter, because the thing is that you find out they shut down the Andre Johnson, the Braylon Edwards, and then Muhammad Massaquoi has 8 catches for 143 yards. So it could be a good week to look at starting Kevin Walter this week.
All right, moving down the list to tight ends. Any thoughts on there?
Well, the only one, I think is going to be, we talked about Todd Heap and Jermichael Finley, but if you do regularly start Vasante Cianco, I think he's got a very tough start this week. I think that they're going to keep a tight end in to help with pass rush of Baltimore this week. And the Baltimore defense has only allowed 11 tight end receptions through the first 5 games, and so that's a pretty good roadmap to say that you maybe don't want to start your tight ends against the Baltimore defense.
All right, now are you liking Baltimore to knock off Minnesota this weekend? You think maybe they get their first loss?
I do. I absolutely do. I think that this is a spot that Favre is as a good quarterback. They've played a lot of really emotional games. This is not a divisional game. And Baltimore is going to come in very upset about last week, letting that game get away from them. And they also gave up their first 100-yard rusher in 40 games. Baltimore is going to come in with a serious attitude. And I think that Baltimore is really going to put their very best game against a team that really is sitting fairly comfortable where they're sitting in the NFC North. They have not probably game planned for facing a Baltimore defense, what they're going to see. And the fact is, in the Baltimore offense has been playing very well also. And so I really do like Baltimore quite a bit this week.
All right. Just have a few more minutes on the podcast, but want us to talk about your defensive matchup. You mentioned Jacksonville at St. Louis. You think that may be one of the greatest defensive showings of the week?
Well, it's definitely, when you talk about, there's a lot of actually, pretty decent matchup. Nothing like last week where we just had some slam dunks like the Giants against Oakland and things like that. And, this week, you got like Green Bay facing Dante Culpepper or a banged up, Matthew Stafford, especially if they don't have, Calvin Johnson. But this is a spot where if you just look at how many fantasy points in St. Louis, their offense is allowing the defense special teams that they're facing. It's 18.2 fantasy points allowed a game, which is the worst in the NFL, just right ahead of Carolina and that turnover machine there. So, if you could also look at starting maybe the Tampa Bay defense. Anytime you're facing Carolina, Jake Lund gets sacked a lot. He turns the ball over a lot. But obviously the Rams have been on a whole nother level and quite – possibly one of the worst teams, the worst team in the league. Surprisingly, last week they played a fairly good game, against Minnesota. They ran 20 plays in the red zone, but turned the ball over three times in the red zone. And so they may be doing some things right, but they're in the end, they're shooting themselves in the foot, and they're just a great defense to start against.
You know, Michael, they tell me turnovers kill you.
Well, they say that every game is determined by turnovers, and you can go right to the stats and look at, you know, plus minus turnovers, and the best teams are in the plus, and the worst teams are in the minus. It never fails.
Very good. Well, that is the waiver report for this week. Me and Bob Harris will be back on Friday to break down the weekend's games, also to update you on any of the injuries of note. Be sure to keep checking out the Flash update. If you need to check up on that, at footballdiehards.com. This has been the footballdiehards.com podcast.